Let us turn the Bibles this evening to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. And I will read the first 25 verses. Let us hear the word of God. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, "Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." They said, however, "No, we'll just spend the night in the square." Yet he urged him strongly. So they turned aside to him and entered his house, and he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may have relations with them." But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him, and he said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with man. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Stand aside." Furthermore, they said, "This one came in as an alien, and already he is acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them." So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. Then the two men said to Lot, "Whom else have you here? A son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and whomever you have in the city, bring them out of the place. For we are about to destroy this place because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws who were to marry his daughters, and said, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But he appeared to his sons-in-laws to be jesting. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he hesitated. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. When they had brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in this valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords. Now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it is small. Please let me escape there. Is it not small? That my life may be saved." He said to him, "Behold, I grant you this request also, not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the town was called Zoar. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God abides forever. Let us pray. Father, we rejoice in the privilege of opening your word this evening. And I pray for that ministry by your Holy Spirit, which will direct my words and minister to each of our hearts to the exaltation of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you this evening about Lot's lot. Now, I could have named this message Lot's circumstances, or I could have called it Lot's situation. I thought maybe it sounded a little better to speak of it as Lot's lot. Grace and I have the practice of reading through the whole Bible every year. We follow a schedule that I put together a number of years ago. And as I was reading back in January in Genesis, the Lord opened my eyes in this particular passage. I think it has a message for me, and I trust it has something of a message for you. And as we look at this passage, the first thing I would call to your attention is this: decisions have consequences. The decisions we make have consequences. The land of Canaan was an occupied land. Sometimes we get the idea there wasn't anybody there when Abraham was there. But it was occupied. And especially down in the Jordan Valley along the river, there were even cities. And we read about this back in the 13th chapter of Genesis. Abraham and his nephew Lot are living near Bethel, and they both had large herds of livestock. And they came to the conclusion that there in the mountainous area, with other people living around, they needed more room. So Abraham made a proposal to Lot in 13 verse 8. Abraham said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if to the right, then I will go to the left." And so Lot responded in verse 10. He lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. "Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar." So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan. And Lot journeyed eastward. Then they separated from each other. Abraham settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. And then we find, when we come to our scripture lesson, chapter 19, that Lot is living in the city. He's moved out of the tent. He has a house. And he's seated at the gate of the city, along with other elders in the city. He's made his home in Sodom. When we look at this passage, I'm reminded of the first psalm. There, the psalmist writes of the blessing of the godly and of the trials of the wicked. And he says, opening the psalm, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." Lot. First he looked at the land, and then he chose the rich, fertile Jordan Valley, along with its cities. And then he moved and settled there in the valley, and now we find him living in the city. Lot was a believer. This is confirmed not so much from Genesis as from other parts of Scripture. In 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8, "And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds." Three times, Peter refers to Lot as a righteous man. And yet Lot seemed to try to keep one foot in the world. And he made a choice, and it had consequences. The second thing I notice as I look at this passage is convictions can lead to problems. Now, this is the verse that first caught my eye. It's the ninth verse in chapter 19. "But they said, stand aside. Furthermore, they said, this one came in as an alien, and already he is acting like a judge." It almost sounds like he's one of those people we're talking about in our community today, in our nation today. Here, Lot was a foreigner, and he was living in their midst, and he was standing for a standard of righteousness. The context of this 19th chapter, of course, is it follows the 18th chapter. And in Genesis 18, Abram at that time is visited by three heavenly beings, one of them the Lord himself, and two other angels. And he discusses with Abraham their plan to visit Sodom and Gomorrah with the intention of finding out if they're as wicked as it seems to be, and if so, the judgment's going to fall. Well, Abraham entered into a little bargaining with God, remember? And he said, "Lord, surely if there are 50 righteous in the city, you won't destroy the city." And the Lord says, "No, if there are 50 righteous, we will not destroy the city." Well, and he said, "Well, perhaps if there are just 45. And he kept on until he got down to 10. And then he lost his nerve, I suppose, or he figured, surely there'll be 10 righteous people down in Sodom. And the Lord said, "No, if there are 10 righteous, I will not destroy the city." And two of the men, the two angels, went on down to Sodom, and they're the ones that Lot greeted as they entered the city. Their plan was to spend the night in the town square. But Lot knew better than that, and so he invited them into his home. And a strange thing is recorded here. It's certainly strange to us. The men tried to get Lot to release his visitors to them so that they could be involved in some terrible, immoral behavior. The text indicates that all of the men of the city had gathered. And Lot stood against their desires. And Lot had to suffer the consequences. He went out and he tried to talk to them in a very gentle manner. Lot went out and said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly." And then he offered them a substitute that blows our mind. He says, "I have two daughters. They're still virgins. I'll let you have them. Do whatever you please, but do not hurt my guests." How do we understand such a statement by Lot? Well, we're told that in those days, and to some degree even today, among Arab people, when you have a guest in your home, it is your responsibility to protect that guest no matter what happens. And even if it means that you neglect your responsibility as a parent, you are obligated to protect your guest. There's at least one other illustration of something similar to this in Scripture. Never does the Bible teach that Lot was doing the right thing in this case in offering his daughters, nor did he offer them, nor did he give them to them. He did offer them. But that sense of hospitality and the responsibility to be hospitable is a biblical concept. Not the way that Arabian nations take it, but it is a biblical concept. But notice, the men of the city accuse Lot of judging because he was standing against the wickedness that they intended to accomplish. Now, the Bible tells us that this was a very great wickedness. In Leviticus 18:22, God says, "You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination." And the Apostle Paul takes up this topic in the first chapter of Romans. In Romans 1, verse 26, Paul writes, "For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural, and in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one other man. Men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error." This practice is declared in God's word to be a very, very wicked thing. But Scripture also teaches it's a sin that can be forgiven. Notice what the apostle writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And then the apostle adds, "Such were some of you." Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. Each of those sins can be washed away by the blood of Christ. Lot, in this matter, stood for righteousness. And dear friends, we as Christians face the same kind of challenge in our culture today. We live in a culture that seems to have no standards. And in particular, the promotion of homosexuality is gaining on every front in the land in which we live. And God expects us to stand and to stand strong against it. I received a newsletter from the Family Life Interests in Kentucky. We were there for over a year, and I'm still on their mailing list. And the one that came just this week talks about a case in Boyd County High School in Kentucky, where a judge ruled on February the 17th in the U.S. District Court, Judge David Bunning also restricts student speech regarding homosexuality. He passed a judgment that students could not talk against homosexuality. And it applied to the teachers as well. A part of an out-of-court settlement, the school district agreed to require middle and high school students to attend gay sensitivity training. In other words, teach them that these practices are okay. And every year, they have to attend these sessions. It also banned them from speaking negatively about homosexuality throughout the school district. And the teachers were required to take this training, and no provision was made if a parent wanted to keep their child out of that false teaching. There was no way open to them to do it. Kentucky, in the year 2006, heard on the radio just a week or so ago about attempts being made in California state legislature to pass a similar law. It'll be unlawful, if the law is passed, for a person to speak against this wicked practice in the state of California. And the same effort is being made all across our nation. You and I, dear friends, must be bold to stand for the truth of the Word of God. And there are other areas. For instance, we have a culture that is flooded with all forms of sexual immorality. Dare we be bold enough to say what God's standard is? Intimate relations are for the marriage relationship alone. Anything else is sin in the eyes of God. There are other areas, many of them. This is Memorial Day weekend, and we are ready to honor and express our gratitude for those who have served our nation down through the years to enable us to live in freedom and to worship freely. We're currently engaged in a war in Iraq. The last figure I saw on American casualties deaths was 2,455. And we grieve with the parents and families of every one of those men and women. But you realize that in our nation today, every day, 365 days a year, on the average, over 3,000 of our babies are being killed by abortion. We need to be bold, recognizing that when we stand for our convictions, there can be problems. The third thing I would call to your attention from this passage back in Genesis 19 is we see in this a strong, strong mercy. Notice verses 15 and 16. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of this city." And then the text tells us, but he hesitated. And so the men seized his hand, and the hand of his wife, and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him, and they brought him out and put him outside of the city. I've heard people say God will never force you to believe. Friends, he'll give you the help you need. This shows us that God is in control. God is sovereign. And his purpose was to save Lot and his family. And he did it. Have you ever wondered why God rescued Lot? Of course, the basic reason is because of God's mercy and grace. I can give you several reasons why we think he should not have rescued Lot. We've mentioned the fact that when Lot made his choice of a place to go, he didn't think about God. He thought about his own prosperity, his own life of ease. There's no indication he had any other interest in mind. And then, of course, he was rather reluctant in his repentance. He didn't want to be disturbed. He was satisfied living there among the wicked people of Lot. And there's another reason why it seems, makes us wonder why God rescued Lot. Notice verses 17 to 20. When they had brought them outside, one of the men, the angel, said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away." Now, if someone said that to me, I'd say, "Great. I like being up near the mountains, being in the mountains." But Lot didn't. They probably didn't have any electricity up there. So he went on to say, Lot said to them, Oh no, my lords. Now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Now behold, this town, near enough to flee to, and it is small. Please let me escape there. Is it not small? And I will die, that my life may be saved. Lot still wanted a little bit of access to sin. He didn't want to go to the mountains. Abraham was living in the mountains. He still wanted just a little bit of sin. And I wonder sometimes about myself. My dad, who was a farmer, among other things, used to tell a story about this farmer who needed another worker on his farm. So he was talking to potential employees, And he had a place on his farm where there was sort of a roadway out to some of the far fields, but on one side of the road, there was this steep cliff, and the road was kind of narrow. Talking to one interested fellow, and he said, took him out there, and he showed him that, and he said, "How close to that cliff could you drive a wagon and a team of horses?" Well, the man said, "I could get within 3 or 4 foot of it." He had a second applicant, and he said, "How close would you drive a wagon pulled by a team of horses to that cliff as you were coming in from the field with a load of hay or something?" "Oh," he says, "I could get within a couple feet of it." And they had another man who was looking for a job, and he said, "Now, how close, if you had a wagon load of hay and you're bringing it in from the field, how close could you get to the edge of that cliff as you went through here?" The farmer said, "I'd stay just as far away from that edge as I could." And he's the man that got the job. What about us? How close are we willing to go to sin? And yet, God rescued Lot. Not because of anything in Lot, but because of his mercy and grace. Paul writes in Romans, "So then it is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy." Dear friends, this passage encourages me. I can relate to Lot. And I'm encouraged that God redeemed a sinner like Lot. He's also redeemed a sinner like me. What about you this evening? Let us pray. Father, we rejoice for the lessons that you give us in your word. We thank you that it was your purpose to redeem Lot and his family, and you took them out of that city by a very strong mercy. And we rejoice that it's been your purpose as well to redeem us by the blood of Christ. May we be found among those who rejoice in our sovereign Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.